Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this first Sunday of Lent. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Matthew and read and discuss the Word of Life for March. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
Get your green on at St. Patrick's School's 6th Annual Shamrock Shuffle 5K Run Walk and 1K Leprechaun Chase fundraising event. To help kick off the annual St. Paddy's Day Festival and to help share the message of faith and encourage healthy lifestyles. The date, Saturday, March 14th, and it begins at 601 North Water Street at 9 a.m. The 5K run walk will proceed through the scenic route of our beautiful Corpus Christi Bay. There'll be food trucks, bagpipes, Irish dancing, a costume contest, and much more. Children 8 and under will enjoy chasing the leprechaun to the pot of gold with a gold medal waiting for finishers. It'll be a great day of fun, fitness, and fellowship. For more information, including how to register to participate, call Lee Walsh at St. Patrick's School, 361-852-1211.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And greetings to everyone who's listening today as we begin this first Sunday of Lent.
I know.
First week of Lent.
I know. It seems like we just got over the Christmas season, and now we're already in Lent.
Right. Well, we have to live the present moment always, and the new present moment for us is this season of Lent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful season. So as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and mind to listen to his word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but only on the word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give you, if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, I know we've heard this reading several times about Jesus going into the desert, but it appears to me, of course, he came to us in human form so that he could experience what we as humans experience, and here's the temptation that we all experience in our lives.
That's very true, and I think that one thing is that the devil and the temptations are always attractive to a human being, and what is the difference between us and the temptations that we receive from the devil and Jesus and the temptations, the same temptations that were thrown at him? It's because Jesus was also God, and if you look at the defense that Jesus used, it was always the Word of God. The devil also used the Word of God to tempt Jesus. It is written. And this is the thing that we all have to be very, very, very careful about today, especially. There are many temptations, and we will sometimes, if we have a bit of faith in us, we will, well, that sounds pretty good. I see that in the scriptures. And so we begin to listen to the temptation, somehow justifying it, somehow rationalizing that this is okay because we find something in the scripture that remotely resembles truth. But the reality is that the devil will use what is good in each of our lives to tempt us away from our relationship with God and our love for one another. And so we see this with Jesus. He is so full of God. He is so focused in God that the temptations that come don't make sense to him. They're not temptations. He is able to counter them with the truth that is found in God alone and in his word. So even the fact when he's tempting him to, the devil's tempting Jesus to have power, human power, and he says to him that command these stones to become loaves of bread, which is a certain power that that you have to over inanimate objects such as stone to become bread. That would certainly give anyone a certain feeling of power over nature. But Jesus replies that one does not live on bread alone. So not even that kind of action where stones become bread, that does not provide who we are. That does not give dignity to the human person. We don't find our dignity. We don't find the truth of ourselves in that kind of power over nature. What we do find our dignity, our personhood, our strength in is in the Word of God. That is, I think, the message for this first Sunday of Lent, but also throughout Lent and throughout our lives, that our power as a human being, our dignity is rooted only in the Word of God. That's where our power and our dignity, our personhood is. I will never understand who I am without the Word of God at the center of my life, which is God at the center of my life. And so that is the first temptation. Don't be fooled by human power, human acknowledgments. That means nothing to me as a true child of God. And that's the first temptation.
So, Bishop, as I'm listening to you and then kind of reading this, since this was the first time that he was probably tempted, do you think he knew that it was the devil or Satan or somebody evil? I mean, so it's Jesus, but God too.
Sure. I mean, Jesus is a human being, was a human being, but he also was full of God. I mean, even this is with Mary. You know, Mary was a human being like us, but she was full of grace. So our problem as human beings is we fill ourselves with other things.
Right.
We dabble in the smaller little powers. I have power over a person. I have power over a job. I have power over money. I have power over this. And so we fool ourselves with this kind of focus in life that having things, knowing things is some kind of an enrichment of me. And so when the bigger temptations come, it's like, well, you know, a little bit more wouldn't. I enjoy this kind of power, so why not that? Jesus didn't have that. His only power was God. His only power was the Word of God. His only truth was God, the Father. And so he had that as a reference point so he could see that these temptations of the devil were false. There was just no question. We still are kind of measuring, I enjoy this kind of behavior. Trying to think of an example, but...
But if there are also people in our lives who tempt us, not necessarily, the devil, we need to be aware of that and have the reality check of, well, this isn't right.
Sure. Well, and that's a good example because sometimes even friendship.
Right.
Our friends that we would call our friends could tempt us. And there's where we have a choice. Do I serve God or mammon? Mm-hmm. Do I serve this human being's offerings or God? So there's always a choice of God in these things. And Jesus, throughout these three temptations, chooses God. The second one is the same thing. Who do I trust? Mm-hmm. We would hope we could trust our friends. We could hope that we could trust a person in leadership. We would hope that the person I vote for I can trust, but we also know that that doesn't happen. And so when the devil says, throw yourself down because the angels will take care of you, etc. So we kind of put our trust sometimes in human beings and human promises, and we become disillusioned by these things.
And disappointed.
And disappointed. So here Jesus says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't even go there. But, you know, that's not, you know, trusting God is not the result of the lack of trust in someone else. Trust in God is first. So even today, as you're listening to this program, is your total trust in God himself? Is he the person? Is he the being, the reality, the truth of your life? Is God the truth of my life? And if he is, then I only trust him. Now, yes, people are to be trusted. We need to trust. But that's about relationships, human relationships, mm-hmm. Which are based on the human relationship that's based in true love, wanting always the good of the other. When that is secure, then yes, I can trust someone. And I know I can trust God in that. Even when I have to go through difficulties, my trust is in the Lord God, because he will never abandon me. That's the trust Jesus had. And so that's the trust that we're called to have, and not to be tempted through favors of any kind from anyone else. Only when it serves the good can somebody be trusted.
You know, I would see that sometimes the challenges in trusting God are depending on how well your life's going. If you have a lot of challenges, you might think he's abandoned you.
Yeah, we can't really think, though, of life day to day. We have to think, my life is God.
True.
I mean, when we come, this is what the conversion of Lent is all about, to be able to come at the end of Lent, at the beginning of Lent, day to day, my trust is in you, Lord, my only good. This is the psalm. If you read the Psalms throughout the Lenten time, it'd be a good time. Look at that theme throughout the Psalms. My only trust is in God. You're my only good, one of the Psalms says. So this is the starting point, and this is why Jesus went in the desert, to prove to us that not power, not trust in human things or in material things, and the final temptation on greed, I can give you all of this stuff. And again, Jesus comes up with that final statement, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. So I think if we think about Lent and this journey of Lent in our life, it's about God alone. And everything else is measured to that. Not how can I fit God into my daily life, into my daily projects. God doesn't fit into any of our categories. We're to be children of God, sons and daughters of the Father. So this is what Lent's about, to be a child of God, trust him alone. And in that trust, I'll find who to trust and who to walk with in this world, but him first.
Thank you, Bishop. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for March. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Retreat Center at Our Lady of Corpus Christi will feature a women's all-beautiful retreat May 28th through 31st at their 1200 Lantana facility. As you grow in love and devotion to Mary, our Blessed Mother, you will see the feminine genius at work in our lives. You're invited to experience healing and encounter truths that will transform your heart as you grow in gratitude. The retreat begins at 5:30 p.m. Thursday, the 28th of May, and concludes the following Sunday morning. To register for this memorable event, visit OurLadyOfCorpusChristi.org or call area 361-289-9095.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Of course, this being the first Sunday in March, we have our Focolare Word of Life. And Bishop, I know I sound like a broken record, but again, this month, it's a wonderful, wonderful scripture from St. Matthew.
And again, this is God's Word. This does not belong to any group, but it's for all of us to really try to focus ourselves on God's Word, which is God's truth communicated to us in Jesus Christ. And so these simple sentences are simply a guide, a way to live what God wants us to live and to be who God wants us to be. So if we can not just hear these words and say how beautiful, but to bring them into our life and form our life around and in these words, we will find a new joy that we didn't know before. So I invite everyone to hear these words today and don't just drop it there, my friends, but go back to it. It's on our websites, both at the diocese and at Calux and other places, and just spend time with God's Word and let God speak to us through His Word. So this is taken from St. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. When making important decisions in life, how often do we look at a compass to ensure that we make the right choice? As Christians, how often do we ask ourselves what is the very essence of God's message, the key to enter into the heart of God and live as His children here and now? These words of Jesus, which provide a clear answer, are easy to understand and put into practice. They are taken from Matthew's Gospel and are part of the great Sermon on the Mount, which records Jesus' teaching on how to fully live the Christian life. His teaching is summarized in this concise statement. Nowadays, people want meaningful but brief and effective messages. We could welcome this word as a precise tweet to constantly keep in mind. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. To better understand what to do for others, Jesus invites us to put ourselves in their shoes. He did this when, out of love for us, He took on our human nature. If we ask ourselves what we expect from our parents, children, work, colleagues, politicians, and spiritual leaders, the list most probably includes welcoming, listening, including, and supporting material needs. In addition, we would also like sincerity, forgiveness, encouragement, patience, advice, guidance, and education. For Jesus, it is the inner attitude that then becomes practical action and leads to the fulfillment of all God's law and all the richness of the spiritual life. This sentence is the, quote, golden rule, a universal teaching contained in the different cultures, religions, and traditions that humanity has developed over time. It is the basis of all authentically human values that lead to peaceful coexistence with just and supportive personal and social relationships. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. This sentence encourages us to be creative and generous, to take the initiative for the benefit of everyone and build bridges even towards people we don't count among our friends. Jesus Himself said and did just this. It asks us to avoid being closed in on ourselves so that we can be credible witnesses of our faith. Chiara Lubich encouraged us to do this when she wrote in a gospel commentary in 1978 in April. Let's try. A day lived in this way is worth a lifetime. We will be filled with a joy we have never felt before. God will be with us because He is with those who love. Sometimes we may slow down and feel discouraged and be tempted to stop. But no, take courage. God gives us the grace we need, and so we can always start again. If we persevere, we will see the world around us slowly change. We will understand that the gospel makes life fascinating. It brings a light into the world. It gives zest to our existence and contains the principle for solving all problems. And we will not feel at peace until we communicate our extraordinary experience to other people, to friends who can understand us, to relatives, to anyone with whom we feel compelled to share. Hope will be reborn. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Ramiro was one of the longest-standing workers in his office team. He heard that new colleagues were arriving. He asked himself, if I were to enter this office for the first time, what would I like to see? What would make me feel at ease? He began then to move things around to create more space and involved other colleagues in finding more desks. They worked together to make new and welcoming workstations so that when the newcomers arrived, they found a positive atmosphere and a united working community.
As I said, another wonderful line from Scripture. And of course, when I read it for the first time, I thought, I know I've heard this before. And of course, you know, the golden rule, you know, so.
The important thing, I think one of the things that she wrote in here is that this sentence or this principle of life is found in every religion. And if we go back to the Second Vatican Council, when it speaks of the Word of God, that there are seeds of the Word. And I think this is something we ignore, that there are seeds of the Word, which is God, right, in every religion. And so when you look at this one, if it is found in the books of Hinduism, Buddhism, the Quran, the Old Testament, of course, for us is very important, the Jewish scriptures, this sentence is everywhere, which means it's God communicating His Word in various ways. So we can't just say this is ours only. This is a divine principle that's universal, that everyone has. And so if we just began with that, it's what really strikes people, because it's certainly it's divine, it's God's Word, but it's also very, very logical.
I call it very simple.
Yeah, it's a very simple principle. I mean, the experience, which normally when we read these words of life and the commentaries, it's always an experience. But I think this one, this month, about Ramiro in an office who just simply saw new workers arriving. Well, what would I want to find when I arrived? Mm-hmm. And simply say, well, you know, to have a nice desk, to have a bit of space, a bit of welcome. In other words, you put yourself in the other person's shoes instead of sitting there and being suspicious. Who is this person? Who are these people? Why were they hired? You know, all these things that we do with our jealousy, with our competition. Are they going to take my job? And blah, 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 blah. And all these things that we do, which create barriers between people. Who are these people? Where are they coming from? Why are they here? And all these things that we make so complex on the basis of human relations. Here it says, you know, what would you do? What would you want to find when you come here? Mm-hmm. And look at the way we treat people. I mean, just on a given day, you could look at yesterday or you could look at tomorrow and say, what did I do yesterday to make another person feel welcomed in my little world? And what am I going to do tomorrow with maybe some challenges I have or some people I'm going to meet? What would I do? Am I going to think of myself first or am I going to think of them first? If we're going to live the Word of God, we think of the other first. St. Paul says this in the letter to the Philippians, to always put the other one as more important than yourself. This is Christianity. This is Christianity. Not not just being able to recite a bunch of principles or a bunch of doctrines, all that's important, but that's not Christianity. When we're living the life of Jesus, it's to focus on His Word, and this is a very simple and basic and universal principle that He's given us in our scriptures and that God has planted in many other hearts around the world.
Mm-hmm. I like the line that talks about the inner attitude becomes practical action. And leads to the fulfillment of God's law.
Well, and that's what the Word of God is to change our inner attitudes. It's not, and then that, it's the inner that changes the outer. Right. It's not the outer, and that's where St. Paul said, we don't follow the law, in other words, like a book. We follow the Spirit, which is the inner. So, and the Word of God is the interdynamic, the inner dimension of our life, which then expresses itself on the outside in how we treat God and how we treat one another.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful scripture for us to meditate on and think about
and
for
do,
the month.
And do.
Right,
and do,
Bishop.
And do.
Yeah, not just meditate,
Practice. If you fail, start over.
Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observances of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and by worthy conduct pursue their effects. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.